Chapter 13. Holden. The systems that the Gate Network had opened up were scattered across what everyone was pretty sure was the Milky Way galaxy. Cartography was still working out their relative locations, but even the initial findings put some of the new systems tens of thousands of light years from Earth, and with some distinct weirdness about time and location. Confronted by such unimaginably vast distances, it was easy to forget how much space was in just one solar system, until you tried to find something in it. Legally, any spaceship on the move had to register a flight plan and run an active transponder. That made ships traveling from place to place relatively easy to track. And with a transponder pinging away so you knew where to point your telescope, an active drive was visible from across the solar system. But ships would power down for repairs in dock, so transponders disappeared off the grid all the time. Ships were decommissioned, so a transponder might go black and never return for entirely legitimate reasons. Newly commissioned ships showed up with brand new names, and ships that were sold registered name changes. Some were cobbled together from scrap, some were built in shipyards, some were salvaged. And all of it was happening scattered across roughly 100 quintillion square kilometers of space, give or take a few quadrillion. And that was only if you ignored that space had a third dimension. So, 17 ships had vanished going through ring gates, and if Holden was right, they were probably back in the home system with new names. In theory, there was a path to the information he wanted, but unless he was interested in spending several hundred lifetimes sifting through raw data, he'd need help. Specifically, he needed a computer plowing through a number of different massive databases on new ships, decommissioned ships, sold ships, repaired ships, and lost ships, looking for anything that didn't add up. Even with a good computer and very smart data sorting software, it was what a programmer would call a non-trivial task. And, unfortunately, the best software engineer that Holden knew had flown off to parts unknown and wasn't answering his messages. He didn't have the skills to do it himself, the time to learn them, or a crew to do it for him. What he had was money. After his shift working with Sakai's people on the Rossi refit, Holden called up Fred yet again. "Fred, hey, I have a software problem. Can I hire some of your programming wonks for a short-term gig? Your ship need an update?" Fred asked. "Or is this something that will piss me off?" "Something that'll piss you off. So, who's available for custom script writing?" Paula Gutierrez had the elongated body and slightly oversized head of a low-G childhood. Her smile was sharp and professional. She was a freelance software engineer who'd taken a 6-month consulting job on Tycho 5 years before, and then just stayed on the station picking up the odd bit of piecework. On Holden's hand terminal, her wide face filled the screen with dark, bushy eyebrows and blindingly white teeth. "So, that's what I'm looking for, and I need it as fast as possible," Holden said after laying out his requirements. "Doable?" "Very," Paula said. "Tycho keeps all the traffic databases mirrored local, so don't even have to sweat the lag. Gonna cost you for speed, though."
"Cost me what?"
$1,500 an hour, 10 hours minimum. "No upfront, I don't argue about billing, and I don't give discounts."
"That," Holden said, "sounds like a lot."
"That's because I've got you over a barrel, and I'm gouging the shit out of you."
"Okay, how soon will I start seeing output?"
Paula shrugged with her eyebrows, then looked down at something off camera.
"Call it 20 hours from now before you start getting data sent to you.
Want me to collate or stream it as it comes in?"
"Send it straight to me, please."
"Going to ask me why I want it?"
Paula laughed.
"I never do." Monica was renting a small suite of rooms on the visitors' level of Tycho. They were expensive, and to Holden's surprise, not any nicer than the company quarters Fred had set aside for his crew. Not many companies treated their own as well as they treated guests. But courtesy dictated that he act like the rooms were something special to make Monica feel good about the investment. So he made impressed noises at the open spaces and quality of the furnishings.
"So what did Fred say?"
Monica asked once he took a seat at her dining table and sipped at the tea she'd made. He doesn't think there's much to go on, honestly. I mean about using the protomolecule sample to try and get in touch with Detective Miller.
Yeah, Holden replied, putting the tea back on the table and pushing it away. The first sip had left his tongue feeling scalded and rough. I mentioned that, but only so he'd know he had a leak somewhere. That was always a non-starter as an investigation tool. No one's letting that shit out of its bottle anytime soon. Then I'm wasting my time here, is what you're saying?
No, Holden said. Not at all. I think the missing ship thing is legitimate. I just don't think it's an alien conspiracy. It's much more likely to be associated with this hardline OPA wing. I'm looking into it, if that's a story you want to pursue.
Monica spun her hand terminal around on the tabletop, already impatient with him for changing the subject.
I made my name with a story on the behemoth. Aliens and wormhole gates and a protomolecule ghost that only talked to the most famous person in the solar system. I don't think my follow-up to that can be humans still shitty to each other. Lacks panache.
So, is this about finding those missing ships? Or is it about finding another batch of alien weirdness to make you more famous?
That sounded awfully judgmental for a guy who's managed to shoehorn himself into every major news piece for the last 6 years.
Ouch, Holden said.
Then let the uncomfortable silence stretch a while.
Monica kept spinning her hand terminal, but not looking him in the eye.
Sorry, she finally said.
It's okay. Look, I'm going through this weird empty nest thing, and it's left me kind of restless. And because I'm looking to latch on to something, I'm going to find those missing ships. Probably won't be an alien conspiracy, but I'm going to do it anyway. Want to help?
Not sure what that looks like, to be honest. I was hoping to just ask the omniscient aliens. Do you know how big space is?
I've given it some thought, Holden said.
I have this plan. I talked to Fred about the OPA angle, but he doesn't like that idea, so he's rejecting it out of hand. Still, that got me thinking. The OPA isn't going to throw a bunch of ships away. Belters just don't think that way. They recycle everything.
So
how do you find pirated ships?
Chief Engineer Sakai suggested looking for the new ships that turn up rather than hunting the missing ones.
Sakai suggested?
He's a guy I work with on the Rossi refits. But anyway, I thought that sounded like a great idea, so I hired a local data wonk to write a database mining script to track all the new ship names that show up on the registries and try to find an origin point.
A data wonk?
Freelance coder. Whatever the name is for that kind of work, yeah. And any time now, I'll start getting a stream of data that includes all the mysteriously appearing ships. Our missing 17 should be a subset of that. At least it'll be a smaller number of ships than, you know, all of them.
Monica stood up and walked away several steps, not speaking. Holden blew on his tea and waited. When she finally turned back around, the look on her face was carefully controlled incredulity.
You've involved Fred Johnson, some engineer here on Tycho, and a fucking hacker in this? Are you that stupid?
Holden sighed and stood up.
I first heard about this from you, so I'll do you the courtesy of letting you know where the investigation goes.
And now you're leaving?
The incredulous look on Monica's face only deepened.
Well, funny thing. I don't have to put up with being called stupid by someone I'm trying to help.
Monica lifted her palms in a placating gesture that he suspected she didn't really mean.
Sorry, she said, but you just involved three new people, one of whom is the highest profile member of the OPA in our investigation. What on earth made you think that was a good idea?
You know me, right?
Holden said, not sitting again, but not heading straight for the door either.
I'm not a guy who hides things. I don't think Fred is the bad guy, but if he is, then his reaction to our searching will tell us something. Secrecy is the potting soil in which all this conspiracy shit grows. Trust me. The roaches don't like it when you start shining a light on them.
And what if they decide to get rid of the guy with the light?
Well, Holden said with a grin, that'll be interesting too. They won't be the first ones to try, and I'm still here.
The following day, the data from Paula's program began trickling in. He authorized his terminal to transfer the remaining payment for her services and began going through the list. Lots of new ships were showing up around Mars and Earth, but that was to be expected. The shipyards were cranking out new and refurbished vessels as fast as the mechanics and engineers could make them. Everyone with 2 yuan to rub together was making a play for the ring gates and the worlds beyond them, and the biggest group of people who liked living on planets and were already physiologically adapted to it came from the 2 inner worlds. Only a tiny fraction of those ships had gaps in their records that Paula's program would flag, but even a brief search led Holden to believe that the flagged ships were mostly paperwork errors, not piracy. There were also a scattering of suspicious new ships in the belt. Those were more interesting. If the OPA was stealing ships, then the logical place to hide them was in a region of space thick with ships and other metallic bodies. Holden began going through the belt list one ship at a time. The Gozerian appeared out of nowhere in the docks at the Palace Refinery in the right date range. The records listed it as a probate transfer, but were vague on who'd died and what relation the new owner had to the old. Holden guessed the answer to those 2 questions was person who used to own the ship and person who killed them and took it. The transfer of ownership was sketchy enough that it almost certainly was the result of piracy, but the Gozerian was listed as a non-Epstein light-hulled mining ship, a rockhopper. The records from Palace backed that up, and a search of the list of 17 missing ships didn't turn up anything matching its description. No one was going to make a run for the edge of the solar system and then all the way into a new world in something that didn't have an Epstein drive. There were much more comfortable places to die of old age. Holden checked the Gozerian off his list and moved to the next. By the time he'd gone through the entire initial list from Paula, it was 3 a.m. Tycho time, and his shift on the Rossi started at 8. So he caught a couple of hours of rack time and spent a miserable morning trying to trace maneuvering thruster cables through a fog of sleep deprivation. By the time his shift was over, all he could think about was a little dinner and a lot of sleep. But the data stream from Paula was waiting for him with nearly 50 new ships. So he picked up a carton of noodles on his way home and spent the rest of the evening going through the list. The Mouse Pie was a gas freighter and didn't match his missing list. The Vento first appeared before the date range he was interested in, and a query to the last dock it had visited confirmed the dates were correct. The Blasphemous Jester was listed as Epstein-equipped, but a search of the service records showed that the drive had been out of commission for years. Someone had been using it as a short-hop shuttle in tea-kettle mode ever since. On and on and on through the names it went. At one point, his terminal beeped with an incoming message. Amos, checking in with a cryptic, visited my friend's grave. Went okay, but still got some shit to do. Back later. Holden slurped up another mouthful of noodles that had long since gone cold and now had the consistency of earthworms. How had Miller done shit like this for a living, he wondered. It was shocking to realize how much of investigation was just brute force solutions. Going through endless lists, looking for one thing that doesn't fit. Talking to every single potential witness over and over. Pounding the pavement, as the Gumshoes and Alex's neo-noir movies might say. It was thinking about Alex that twigged his memory, and he went back through the list until he found a ship designated the Pau Kant. The last location was marked as 434 Hungaria, a high albedo rock in the Hungaria group, an asteroid group relatively close to the orbit of Mars but with a high inclination. Mars Control had caught a ping from the Pau Kant and then lost it shortly after. They'd marked the ship as missing. But prior to that single and short-lived appearance, the Pau Kant didn't seem to exist in any other records. He couldn't find any description of her hull type or drive, nor were there any owner records he could track down. He'd moved it to his list of ships to look into later, but something about Mars and inner belt asteroids was making his brain itch. The Hungaria group wasn't a terrible place to hide things. 434 Hungaria was about 20 kilometers across, plenty of mass to mask ships from radar, and the high albedo of the group would clutter up the results of anyone looking for ships with a telescope. The location was intriguing, too. If the OPA radicals were collecting ships to pirate colony transports, the Inner Belt was not a bad staging area. They'd also launched an attack on Earth in the recent past. That it had failed didn't mean they weren't planning more. A bunch of stolen ships hiding in the inner ring was exactly the sort of first step another attempt might take. The Hungaria asteroids were a long way from Tycho's current location, and Holden didn't have a ship. But they were pretty close to Mars, and Alex was there. If he had access to a ship, it wouldn't be too long a trip to go take a peek, see if the Pau Kant was still out there, tethered to the rock and staying dark. And if it matched any of Monica's missing ships, well, that would be interesting to take back to Fred. Holden put his terminal on the table, angled up to record his face, and said, "Alex, hey, hope things are going well out there and that Bobby's good. So I've been looking into this thing with missing ships, and there's a suspicious hit out at 434 Hungaria. Any chance you have access to a ship? If you need to rent one, feel free to pull the funds from my account. I'd like you to go see if a ship named the Pau Kant is sitting out there parked in dark. Specs on the transponder code attached to this message." He put all the information he had on the Pau and its most recent location from the Mars control records into a file. It wasn't much to go on, and it felt like a long shot, but Alex would enjoy the flight, and Holden was willing to foot the bill, so he didn't feel too bad about asking. He was pretty sure the burst of energy that came from having made progress would be short-lived, but he wanted to share his success and felt wide awake, so he called Monica. He got her voicemail. He left her a message to call him back, slurped down the last of his cold and nasty noodles, and immediately fell asleep on his couch. The next morning, he wasn't on the duty roster to work on the Rossi, and Monica hadn't called him back, so he called again. No answer. On his way to breakfast, he dropped by her apartment, but she wasn't there either. She'd been a little miffed at him, but he didn't think she'd bail on the whole missing ship story without saying anything. He made another call. "Tycho Security," a young male voice said. "Hey, this is Jim Holden. I'm checking on a visiting journalist, Monica Stewart. Has she left the station?" "One sec." "No, records lister is still on board. Her apartment is..." "Yeah, actually, I'm at her apartment right now, and she's not answering here on her hand terminal. My records show that her terminal hasn't connected to Tycho since early yesterday." "Huh," Holden said, frowning at her door. The quiet on the other side had taken on an ominous feel. What if they decide to get rid of the guy with the light? He wasn't the only one who fit that description. "So, she hasn't so much as paid for a sandwich in over a day. That strikes me as not good. Want me to send a team? Please do that." By the time the security team arrived and opened the door to Monica's apartment, Holden was expecting the worst. He wasn't disappointed. The rooms had been methodically searched. Monica's clothes and personal effects were scattered across the floor. The hand terminal she used for interviews had been crushed under someone's heel, but the screen still flickered when Holden touched it. The team found no traces of blood, which was about the only positive sign. Holden called Fred while the team finished their forensic sweep. "It's me," he said, as soon as the OPA chief answered. "You've got a bigger problem than radicals on Medina." "Really?" Fred said, his voice weary. "And what is that?" "You've got them on Tycho."